G'day everyone and welcome to another Chewing the Bat podcast. My name is Jack and I'm gladly joined in the Erong Pilly studio with Swizzle. How you going?
Good mate, good. Am I a host now?
I haven't discussed with Gus and producer Frey, to be honest.
They're not even in the country enough.
Gus is in London at the moment, made a bit of a lifestyle change.
Big lifestyle change. Shout out to Gus Bus.
And producer Frey is doing his due diligence on the Gold Coast with the Viral family, supporting Kim, working his ass off. And I kind of just said to him, like, oh, I'm just going to keep it going with Swizzle. And he just was like, yeah, sweet. And I haven't heard anything since. So, not that they're listening.
Well, surely, mate. Surely.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll have to ask him this week.
It's been a busy week.
We've got a lot to get through.
Absolutely.
We've got Indian Wells, which is just finished. Miami currently on. And then we're going to finish off with some chat at the end of the podcast. Prize money in sports.
Yes. Very the game within sports.
Well, money. Money talks, man.
Money talks, man.
The last couple of weeks, few weeks, we're on a bit of a roll at the moment, but you came up with a game called Sport or Game.
Sport or Game.
And I feel like it changes every week.
It does. Look, got to get creative to find new source material sometimes.
Have you got one for us this week?
Well, it's the sport within games, mate. It's the money. The money within sports.
Right.
So I got a few questions for you as to what you think.
So it's just trivia?
A little bit, I guess, yeah.
Okay, all right,
yeah,
I'm ready.
Testing. Mate, highest earning athletes of all time.
Oh, okay. All
now,
right.
I've got a list that...
Is this just prize money or just...
No. Oh.
Overall.
So this is overall. But it's what they earned within their careers. So post-career, none of that is counted.
Okay.
What sports do you think are in this list? I've got the top 38 sitting here in front of me. Top 38 highest paid athletes over their career span. It includes salaries, bonuses, prize money, purses, endorsements, licensing, royalties, the works for the duration of their career.
Should we just roll the top 10?
Well, I want to hear from you. What sports do you think are in here?
Automatically, I think basketball.
Tick.
Golf.
Tick.
Having been lived in the generation of the big three in tennis, I think at least one of them's in there.
At least one, correct.
I also think NFL.
Interesting.
Football.
Okay.
The global sport football, so
okay.
Soccer.
Okay. Understood.
I think boxing.
Yep.
Anything else?
There is one more that you've missed.
Is it a Olympic sport?
I don't think so, actually. I don't think it is. But it's got a lot of money in the sport, so hence that kind of throws these guys in that list. F1.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Now, you're right, it's mostly golf, football, tennis.
Well, automatically we're thinking of the greatest athletes of all time in our generation. So you're Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan.
I'll rattle off a few for you. So over his career span, $3.3 billion is top Michael Jordan.
Yeah, second would be...
Tiger sits at 2.5.
Yeah.
Arnold Floyd. Palmer.
Golf.
Golf. Jack Nicklaus.
Golf.
Ronaldo.
Football.
LeBron. Messi. Mayweather. Fedzi. Mickelson. Schumacher. Beckham. Kobe. O'Neal. Norman. Tyson. Neymar. Durant. The list goes on.
Right.
But notably, we've got Rafael Nadal coming in at... 27. That's 0.66 billion.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And then we've also got Serena Williams at 0.6 billion down at 38.
Oh, she's made a stack of money.
She has. She has.
She'd be the highest earning woman.
She is, yeah. She is the only woman on this list.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Very, very impressive over the career span as well. And one of the most successful players on the tour. Both tours, to be honest.
100% in terms of record.
Mm. But for me, what I see as well with this list, we've got players like your golfers, your tennis players that have played hundreds, if not into the thousands of matches.
Yep.
And then on the flip side of that, you've got a boxer, Mayweather, for instance, $1.41 billion. Was he 51 or 52 and 0?
He's 50-0.
50-0.
He retired at 50-0. Yeah.
Okay, 50-0, and let's say 52-0. he hasn't stepped on the court. Like, his bang for buck when he goes
his
out
bang
and
for
performs.
Buck is pretty good. But you do get your face punched in.
He didn't. But
no,
generally,
he didn't, but yeah.
Generally you do.
Well, I think that's the thing for boxing, right? Like, they, after a big, brutal fight, even if you win it, your doctor or the whatever organization they're fighting for, you have a set time that you have to rest for that you can't fight between.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And notably as well, I did actually miss one earlier. We have got a few fighters in here. Conor McGregor.
Virat Kohli in the list?
A what?
Virat Kohli.
Virat Kohli. Hunting.
So in terms of bang for your buck, I reckon up there, one of the highest sports per hit or per bowl, cricket in the IPL.
Virat Kohli is not on this list. We have not got a single cricket player.
Post-career, potentially.
Conor McGregor comes in at 0.62 billion. So he's on this list as well. Oscar De La Hoya. There is a NFL player. Surely you know who it is, mate. There's only one big dog.
In NFL. Oh, it's Tom Brady.
No. Oh, wait, sorry, he is.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's one of the GOATs. So.
He is one of the GOATs. But in other news as well on this one is that gender pay gap as well is massive, mate.
Oh, it's massive. And I think this list will shift in the next, 20 to 30 years because women's sports is
coming
slowly
along,
coming
mate.
Along, but it is coming along.
Yeah.
And some sports quicker than others, like the Matildas here especially, like, has transcended soccer or football in Australia.
Yeah.
With the whole nation getting around
there's
it.
There's a reason for those little girls to play.
Yeah, and it's quality football. They did this really cool ad, actually. So it was an AI-generated ad, and to the viewer, for the first 30 seconds out of the 40-second ad, it was like the men's, like Man City, Man U, just highlights of like kind of showcasing the EPL, English Premier League. And it was unbelievable, like some like long-range goals, awesome saves. I'm like, yeah, these guys are killing it, you know? Mm. But it was actually AI generated. It was women's highlights, but AI generated
with
men.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, which was, super cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. But in terms of an entertainment standpoint, like, it's
building, it'll be interesting to have a look at the list in 10, 15 years' time, see where that sits. And the other thing as well is, like, as we move forward, players do earn more money. As our money and our dollar inflates and all that. Players back in the 70s and 80s, they weren't earning as much money for winning tournaments or endorsements, whereas now, obviously, there's a lot more money involved. So I think this list will shift. Be cool to see a few women in there.
Hopefully, absolutely. Shall we move on? Some results.
Tennis, mate. I called it.
Yeah, you did. You called it. Alcaraz called it last week. Alcaraz taking out Indian Wells, ending Yannick Sinner's, 17 or 18 match win streak for the start of the year, kicking things off. Obviously, the Australian Open.
Confident performance, though.
But like, yeah, Alcaraz.
Mate, the physicality of those boys, watching Sinner Alcaraz play, it's unreal. Like, those little exchanges they have.
And it's exciting. As I think we talk about it all the time, like Fedzi and Rafa, and obviously Djokovic, like the rivalry which they had over the course of 10 to 15 years, staying up late for a Wimbledon final between Fedzi and Rafa, like AO finals, Fedzi, Rafa.
Having your dreams crushed in 2008, 5 a.m. in the morning after staying away.
Let's not bring that up. And obviously being absolutely shattered with Fedzi's retirement.
Mm.
This is the next rivalry.
It's fun, man. But I do have to say they're a little bit nicer. I feel that Fedzi, Rafa and Djokovic, those rivals were a little bit feisty.
Well,
they never kind of let it show, but you could tell the fire was there. These boys, like, they'll finish a long point. They're having a bit of a laugh at each other.
But I think they're that good that they can do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think they're that mentally tough now that a little bit of kind-heartedness and laughter is not going to put them off because the quality of the ball is...
it's just too good, right?
It doesn't really matter.
And then on the flip side, mate, you did not call it. Paul going down to Med in the semi.
It was tight, though.
It was tight. Had chances. I don't think he had a match point in that second set. I was looking back
But he was in the mix.
He was in the mix. I think just ran out of legs. Like, to beat Med at this level, you got to be able to do it for a long period of time. And
it's unbelievable.
Just wore him down. But then in the final, Med ran out of legs from what I saw.
Yeah.
I think you watched the match. I've seen highlights and looked at all the stats. Like, Alcaraz played unreal.
It was a classic tale of Alcaraz just producing his best.
Yeah.
And at his best, I don't think many people have an answer for him. Not even Djokovic.
No. Yeah. Agreed.
So, pretty impressive stuff. But the thing is that Alcaraz is yet to showcase and prove that he can sustain that level for, you know, similar to what Rafa, Fedzi and Jock did for 15 years.
Yes, yeah, agreed.
For 15 years.
It's a long time.
Djokovic, it is a long time.
20 years, but
you're
right.
What I remember watching, like, Djokovic and Rafa and these guys at whatever tournament it is, 500, 250 or 1,000, and you know that they're not going to, like, one of them are going to win it.
Yeah.
Like, if Fedzi's in a 500 draw and Rafa's not in it, Fedzi's winning it.
It's a lock.
It's a lock.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sort of seeing that I haven't seen it yet from Sinner and Alcaraz, but it's coming. Like,
agreed.
It's almost, they're almost at a stage where it's a lock, a final.
I think it's the concentration, a big part of it. I think you need to hit a certain age and maturity level to be able to do it week in, week out over a long period of time.
Yes.
I think these boys maybe have just been a little bit young, still kind of developing that concentration level. Physicality, tennis-wise, it's all there. But conditioning, maybe they lose a bit of focus, not as concentrated. I think they're now kind of hitting that stage where they're going to actually start to show up at every tournament, week in, week out, and play ball.
I listened to a really interesting podcast yesterday on Darren Cahill, who commonly gets misinterpreted as Sinner's. He is Sinner's coach, but he actually oversees the business. So Sinner has his Italian coach, Vavasori, I think his name is, that he's been working with, I think, since he was maybe in his late teens or early to like mid teens.
Yeah, been together for years.
And mate, how's his team, right? So he's got Vavasori, he's got a fitness trainer, he's got an osteopath.
Wow, yep.
He's got a physio, and then he also has Darren Cahill as a secondary coach that almost oversees the team.
Yeah,
making sure the team's flowing and what he's working on with his game as a whole is like, you know, sits well with the tour.
Well, he's very good with his stats. Like I've listened to him talk and I've been around him a little bit in terms of his stats and kind of making sure that you're doing the right shots at the right time, taking those chances.
Absolutely.
He'll be looking at distance run. He would be building the perfect player.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, from what it was speaking about, I think Cahill has a log of maybe the top 50 players and just everything about them.
Yeah.
How to beat them, how to kind of dissect the game, video highlights, like match highlights. He's got everything. He's got the whole...
I mean, he helped Djokovic for a few years there.
He worked for Fedzi for a year too, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, a few years back.
But his knowledge of the game and the statistical side of it, very strong. And if he's overseeing an entire team of people
plus
to get the best possible outcome from an athlete, like that's an unreal.
On Darren Cahill, I didn't realize how good of a tennis player he was.
Oh, really?
22 in the world, career high.
Was he?
Top 10 in dubs.
That's unreal.
Won one ATP doubles title and one ATP singles title in Melbourne in his career.
Dude can play.
I can play, which I didn't... Yeah, he doesn't really speak much of.
I didn't know that. I thought he came from a bit more of a enthusiast background.
Yeah, but it does look like it.
Yeah.
And the players that he's worked with, like Hewitt, worked with Hewitt for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Halep. Agassi. Yep. I didn't realize, but he worked with Agassi I think when Agassi was in his early 30s. And obviously now Sinner, so... Very impressive resume.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All those top players do have a good team around them. Like, Fedzi's had his fitness coach, and he's had Severin Lucci, who's a part of his team for years. And I think that's a big part of it. Once you consolidate that team around you and you can...
Oh, it's a lock-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Novak, too. We saw it with Novak, actually, when his team kind of broke up a little bit.
Mm.
His performance went down. He got Marion Vida back. And, of course, he's back on top.
Yeah, and we kind of see the opposite now with Holger Rune.
Yeah, chop and change.
Oh, jumping around like a stray rat, mate. Just going from coach to now to Mouratoglou. Apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, on Mouratoglou, going back to Holger, I don't think Mouratoglou is getting paid to do it. Someone told me this outrageous rumor that Mouratoglou is paying or offering his services for free.
No.
Yes. I don't want to slander anyone.
You got to stay relevant somehow, right?
But please,
interesting.
Interesting one. I don't know if I believe that, but
I don't know. I mean, Mouratoglou's got a lot of money coming in elsewhere.
Yep, absolutely.
So makes sense. But I think maybe Rune should try and stick away from the Raducanu method. find a coach, work with him for actually a couple of years and build.
Well, proof's in the pudding, right? Like, he's struggling a fair bit at the moment.
Yeah, just with, up and down.
You know, someone that we kind of, everyone pictured him to be up there with the Sinner and Alcaraz at the
moment. And he wanted to be.
Yeah, and he was quite open about that. So yeah, Alcaraz taken out Indian Wells. A lot of people know it as the fifth slam.
Yeah.
And then we're also in and amongst the first week of Miami.
We are.
What a duo of tournaments.
Before we move Miami, though, mate, you forgot the women's singles, the women's side.
Iga. What a win.
Iga. And with an exclamation point at the end. Oh, sorry, an exclamation zero at the end.
Oh.
Six love.
Well,
4-0.
Without dropping a set for the whole tournament. So, pretty convincing. Number one in the world.
That's a GOAT status performance.
And
all GOATs have to do that at one stage.
I was saying to you before, I don't know how she's been swept under the rug and not talked about at number one in the world. But she's had no headlines on her.
No, I...
Sabalenka's obviously had the headlines after the Australian Open. I feel like Rybakina's been...
thrown in there as well.
Yeah, everyone's talking about Rybakina and, you know, her kind of ability and goals about getting to the number one in the world. But no one's talking about Iga.
No, I don't think she's particularly marketable. I think she gets a bit stuck sometimes.
And I don't think she wants to be.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think she needs that.
I think she's happy. She's got her ons like running sponsorship with Fedzi.
Yep.
Number one in the world, making heaps of money.
I don't think she minds just cruising, mate. At least with that side of things. It lets her focus on the tennis.
Yeah, I just find it absurd that she's cruising. Number one in the world.
I know. Absolutely cruising. Sakari, though, put it in a good first set. And obviously taking out Goff in the semis. That was a tight match. That was a good fun one.
It was a good fun one, but a very surprising result for me. I feel like Sakari matched up against a Goff type player or a Sabalenka type player.
Mm.
Gets out hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or hit off the court.
Yes. Can get a bit defensive sometimes too.
So, but I'll tell you what, Sakari's game style, like super fit, runs all day, makes balls. If you're not on and you're not hitting your spots,
she's going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miami though, mate.
Miami's
been a bit of fun already. We've had a few storylines coming in.
A great storyline for Aussies on the Aussie men's side to kick things off.
Mm.
Coming through qualies is Adam Walton, who's been absolutely flying up the ATP ranking over the last 18 months to 2 years.
It's cool to see one of the boys that was hanging around when I was playing, mate, on the tour.
Yep.
You know, he's a bit younger than me, but...
And I have to say, with all due respect to Adam, at a junior age at under 14s and under 16s, and I kind of rub shoulders with him in a lot of tournaments and whatnot as well. He was a good player,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't anywhere near the best of his age group.
No, I agree.
And those guys that are similarly aged, went to college 4 years. I'm assuming he worked bloody hard.
Yeah,
he's super fit.
Absolutely,
puts a lot of balls in the court.
Yeah,
and with a bit of like smartness about his tennis game and his consistency and slowly developing weapons, he's come across nicely, mate.
Like
zero to 130 in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible story.
And pretty good performance against Felix.
Five and four. Respectable.
Yeah, against, 5-4. Like, that's...
against a top 50 player.
That's in the mix.
That's definitely in the mix.
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. I'm hoping he kicks and can get inside that top 100 and start seeing him at slams a little bit more often.
Yeah, I did see a post. He posted, obviously, a couple of days ago about how stoked he was about his Miami experience. What I didn't realize is that center court is played at the Miami Dolphins Stadium.
Yeah.
In the NFL stadium.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
It's awesome, mate.
Looks pretty empty when there's it's not full. But regardless, I'm sure it would have been a pretty cool experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, that's probably our story of the so far of Indian.
Well, we do
Miami,
have, we do have another Aussie in the draw, mate. He's actually playing right now against Lamont.
Thompson. Jordan Thompson, Tomo. Yeah. Tomo's been a great success story as well. Kind of a battler throughout his junior career. Another player that wasn't the best. Not scattered like your Kigs and your...
He just wasn't as polished for me. Yeah, he didn't have those weapons.
Bit of a journeyman, hard worker, and it's paying off.
It is, man. It is. And he's consistent. Even when he's losing, he seems to be consistently kind of pushing for three sets or knocking on the door to win a couple of sets. He's currently up 3-2 on serve 30-all with Monfils. I kind of think he can get through that. I think that's winnable.
Definitely, even though Monfils is playing almost career-best tennis at like 34 years old. So...
And have a bit of fun with it.
Oh, absolutely. Which, you know, always prompts the question for me, like, guys on the men's side, maybe less so on the women's, I'm not so sure, I haven't looked into it too much, but guys are peaking at an older age now.
Yeah, I think they can.
Which is, I think, a great thing because it's allowing guys that are at a challenger level that are still like 26, 27.
There's hope.
To keep playing.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
You know, with Monfils, obviously, he's been a ridiculous career being inside the top 20 for most of his early career. But he's playing still career best form at a very old age.
35, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like it used to be 35, you're really on your back legs. Whereas at 35 now, like these boys, they might be on the back end of their career. Sure, absolutely. They've only got a few more years left, but they're able to perform at their
peak. And I think it's a great thing. I think a lot of players get, men and women, get discouraged when they hit their early 20s and, you know, people are thinking you've got to have your life sorted and I'm not really making it as a tennis player. I'm like 300 in the world and it's not really happening. But I think this kind of shift is hopefully allowing those players to, you know, just
play a little longer,
keep going,
get a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's just depth in the game as well. Like I think the level is now so good that you have to actually work to get to that level. You can't just... It's very rare that a player can come in at 18 and just blitz the field. You've got to put some years in.
There's obviously, you get the kind of diamond in the rough in Alcaraz and that come through at 16, 17. Yeah. But that's
few and far between.
Doesn't happen very often. So yeah, Miami, we're into the second round at the moment.
We've had playing round of 64.
Yeah, a few pretty notable results. Shapovalov.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very rough last 6 to 8 months for Shapovalov.
Yeah.
Still ranges
injury,
the
injury,
top.
Right? He's coming back off an injury.
Injury and just really poor form.
Yeah. So it's a bit average at the AO.
Very average.
Oh, that was his summer.
And, you know, struggling to stay inside the top 100.
Mm.
He is.
I think he's 138. I think he's actually outside the top 100.
He's outside, right. Anyway, took a massive win over...
Didn't he, mate? Didn't he?
Big rival, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yeah, he's my rival, actually.
He's everyone's rival. They
one
had
and
this...
Two.
That, yeah, cleaned him.
1-2. Like, for someone at that level to lose 1-2 is big time.
They had
That's a really, really good result for Shap, but I don't know how much of it is a really, really poor result for Tsitsi.
It's both. I think it's a poor... I did watch the highlights, and Shap played some, like, you know, some of his best tennis.
Yeah.
Crunching his backy cross as did in his like prime days.
Beating Raf at Toronto.
And on that, not often that we see a match with two oneies.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's few and far between at the moment.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I really appreciate it. I was really lapping up those highlights, mate.
However,
because one of them's a lefty, there's not many cross court backhand exchanges.
Down the line.
But yeah, Shap playing some big tennis. Tsitsipas on the decline.
Yeah, I don't really know what's
whether it's
going,
like
I
mentally
been...
or whether he's tapped out or whether he's seen this level that Sinner and Alcaraz are bringing and he's just kind of like, oh, I'm happy now at 10 to 15 in the world, like
doing the Fognini method.
Oh jeez,
just cruise.
No one does it better than Fognini.
Crack a seed every now and then, and
but you know, going back 5-6 years ago, he was talk of the town. He was mixing it with the big three.
Yeah.
You know, mixing it, you know, pushing Djoko at Oz Finals,
mm-hmm.
and next in line to take a few slams.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit before Alcaraz came through, hey?
Yeah, and he hasn't had one yet.
No, and I don't know why, because actually, as much as I don't particularly like the guy, from what I've seen online, could be a nice guy, I actually really like his game. Aggressive, serves quite well, comes forward, handsy.
Looks a bit yucky at the moment.
Yeah, but I don't know where that's come from. Because when he was playing good, mate, he was tough to beat.
He got himself a girlfriend recently.
Did he? Well, finally moving on from Badosa?
No, they're together still.
Oh, they're still together?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's it.
The Badosa effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
Also, moving on from Tsitsipas, Andy Murray.
Yeah, see, like, he gets himself into this situation all the time. I hate it. I'm going to quit.
When's he going to retire?
But then he has this, like, it's a half-decent result.
Then he beats the top 50 in Echeverry.
Yeah, and then he thinks, I can win another slam. You know what? I'm going to put in another 6 months, a year of work. We're going to see him on, you know, oh, I hate this sport again. I reckon just before Wimby, he's going to hate it again.
It's a love-hate relationship with Murray for me. I love his off-court demeanor, and he's a bit...
He's hilarious,
a great sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah, very dry, but funny.
But on-court, a lot of whinging.
Oh, it's the worst.
A lot of... I'd love to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
But I don't like watching him play tennis.
No. It's all a show.
And, mate, looking at the way he goes about his... Like, he hobbles around with his hip. Obviously, he kind of masks how much he hobbles when you watch him play tennis, because he's constantly moving and sidestepping and shuffling. So it's actually
wider base.
You actually don't see him hobble, but on off days, you know, seeing him at the Australian Open walk around, it's a limp.
Yeah,
it's a massive limp.
Yeah.
So he's gonna post second career, he's gonna have to have another hip reconstruction, hip replacement rather.
Yeah.
So, jeez.
Tough one. I do want him to retire. Like, mate, I honestly hope he just calls it at Wimby, has a bit of fun, and, you know, wins a round or two there.
He must love playing tennis. If he wasn't at that level, I honestly think he would play challenges.
He talks about how much he hates it, mate.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Go home, Andy.
Yeah.
Go home. But yeah, we'll probably give another Miami update next week. Probably
a little bit of women's action on the other side too, mate.
Yep.
We got, again, Iga coming in 1-1 over Georgie.
Jeez, tell you what, like, Iga could go and just sweep this tournament as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like,
who's stopping her?
We had Storm Hunter as well, got a win. 6-3, 3 love up, retirement from Trevisan, and she then lost to Navarro 4-3.
What a career for Storm, by the way. Yeah. Number one in the world doubles player. Yeah.
And hustling.
And, like, what, like around the 100 in singles. Yeah, so getting into slams and qualifying for events. And what a career.
I honestly didn't really see it coming. Like, no. I kind of thought she'd committed to that doubles side of her career, but it's cool. It's cool to see.
Oh, it's very cool to see.
And obviously there's that. Is Barty the one to blame for that? Barty obviously doing quite well in doubles early on and then making that transition to singles and just pumping singles.
Oh, geez. Well, like, Barty could have been number one in the world for singles and doubles if she really wanted to.
Absolutely. But I think there's a bit of a pathway there that, you know, okay, I can play doubles and I can get to a good level and then segue across to singles.
Well, I don't think he gets promoted enough.
Nah, mate, nah.
You know, doubles, especially with guys, you know, I think of my own career and how tough it was in this, and I didn't really want to train and whatnot, and the singles just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But looking back in my like late teens or early 20s, I feel like if I had have committed to doubles, I may have like done something with tennis potentially.
Yeah.
And I think the same story goes for a lot of guys that kind of quit the game because they're not doing well in singles. They may have really good hands. They might have a good serve. They might have everything that requires to be double. Bapana.
Yeah.
Number one in the world.
Yeah. At what, like 50?
Nearly 50.
No, he's not 50.
He's 44. 40. Yeah. There's not much change out of 50 years old. And he's not electric. He's not super fast. But he's got a pretty solid serve. He's got great volleys. And he just knows the game of doubles.
Yeah, he's played doubles for a long time. But I think you're right, mate. Like, that's a legitimate pathway, and I honestly don't think it's utilized as much as it should be in tennis at the moment. There's the college pathway, there's your singles.
Absolutely.
You can make a career out of doubles and then transition to singles.
And I feel like...
probably helps you anyway,
I feel like it's becoming a lost art in Australia.
Yeah, isn't it, mate?
When we were playing in our early teens as kids... I feel like a lot of our training was revolved around net play and doubles play.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of that. I, as you know, mate, I enjoy my doubles a lot more than my singles. I don't see these young kids putting the time into doubles. It's almost like I'll just play it to get a bit of extra court time.
You know, especially when we're having troubles with girls staying in the sport after their teens.
Yeah.
Even guys as well. Yep. Like, get some doubles. Get a bit of like fun action into it, especially on the girls' side.
You can talk with your partner halfway through. Like, if you're having a shit day, they can help you out through it.
Oh, well, there's nothing worse than just playing singles, losing, and then waiting for your next event.
Don't I know it, mate.
Oh, or playing even worse, playing consolation. Let's get some match play in.
Another couple of notable matches as well. We got Pegula Fernandez in the round of 32. They both won to get there.
Now, Pegula... correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong. No, actually, I am right, but I don't know the intricacies of the details here. She is the daughter of owner of the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Maybe it's not the Miami Dolphins, but it is an NFL team.
I know there's billions of dollars in the background there. I kind of thought it was like an oil tycoon or there was some money coming from her. Her family's quite wealthy. Early days, I kind of thought she might have just been playing because, you know, family are just paying for everything. I've come around. I think she's a legitimate player now.
She's a very legitimate player.
Oh, yeah. She's not doing it for the money at all. Like, she's out there to fight because she wants to win.
It was the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not the Miami Dolphins. Anyway.
Osaka also winning a couple of matches to get through to the round of 32. She beat Cochilare. Oh, no, mate. No, she beat an Italian.
Hey, you nearly nailed it. I thought you were about to nail it.
Yeah, no, I felt like I was, but I pulled out. But anyway, she got win over there, then took down Svitolina, which is a pretty good result.
Bloody good win.
Yeah. So yeah, good playing Caroline Garcia next, so that'll be fun. We got Kasatkina against Kirsteia. Kirsteia just beating Stevens.
Sloane Stevens is another one of those stories where everyone was expecting her to, you know, be top three for the rest of her career.
Well, mate, this, I think, sums it up. She beats Kerber first round 2 and 3.
Yep.
And then loses to Kirsteia 2 and 1.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Tick, yep. As advertised. Then we got Collins also getting through, beating Potapova. She's also going to be playing Avancea, who just beat Jabeur 6-3 in the third. Tight one.
Very tight. So, I guess favourites here for Miami.
Well, look, I'm going to throw Sakari in there as well. She just beat Yastremska. So she's on through the round of 16. Obviously, Iga as well. Yeah, I mean, Iga's hard to go by.
Iga's dollar row one at the moment.
One that I did have at the start was Ostapenko, but she's just lost to Kalinskaya 3-1.
Yep.
I think she's kind of come off that purple patch at the start of the year that Ostapenko was on. So interesting times. But yeah, at the moment, I'm probably going to be throwing Rybakina in there as well. She's just about to serve it out against Townsend, 7-5-4 in the third.
She's just won, actually, 6-4.
Ooh.
There we go. A
couple of minutes old
on
my...
Yeah.
I got to hit refresh.
Yeah, you need a new laptop, mate.
I do.
And yeah, that's pretty much it for our Indian Wells and Miami update. French Open around the corner.
I am so keen. But Monte Carlo,
oh,
Madrid, Rome...
This is a thing. There's got to be more talk within tennis post Australian Open.
Yeah, it dies for a little bit there, doesn't it?
It does die. But I'll tell you what, though, we don't have much or very good access to the tournaments to watch here.
Yeah, I agree. Time wise, it's a bit rough. Up at 2 a.m. to.
But even so, yeah, for example, Miami, like people could be watching it in the morning before they're getting ready for work.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Agree.
It's not just on TV.
It's not easy access.
It could be on in the TVs during the day. Wherever you work, like,
yeah,
it's on.
Stan's pretty good with that when there's a slam on. Like, I know US and Wimby.
Yep.
Generally, I can get up in the morning and on the way to work. Oh, sorry, when I'm getting ready for work, I don't watch tennis while I'm driving.
We don't recommend it. Don't condone it.
Like,
you listen.
But yeah, no, it's generally on and I can watch it, but it's not everywhere. It's not accessible to
me. It's tough to watch. Yeah, we might have to dig into that a little bit next week, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was you that was telling me that tennis is dying a little bit at the moment.
Well, it is, and I don't know, this is a whole other conversation, but I was thinking about this, I think about this every day, is the tennis calendar being condensed to like 6 months and having a season as opposed to being an all-year sport. Imagine. You have even if it's a 8 month season.
Yep.
That's plenty of tennis.
Plenty of tennis, and you have the players three time to chill.
Players the time to hang out. It gives coaches and staff like more time at home with the family.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can get more money involved with some Saudi money, potentially. And I just think that something like that, like a change, like if it's, as long as it stays with, you know, ATP and WTA, it won't ever change.
No.
But I think if, you know, another organization come in and pump a heap of money into it, like they did with golf, with LIV Golf.
It would make things interesting.
And I think you would gain more fans.
Yes.
You would have that kind of anticipation in the off season for the season to kick back again, like we do with the football here in Australia.
I agree. You'd even probably drag a few players away from the tour, creating a bit of space for those Chally and Futures guys to kind of come through a little bit quicker.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's too many downsides to that. Obviously, the money that people are making at the current tournaments with the players all having to show up and be there, there's a lot of moving parts to it.
It's a tough sport.
It's a very tough sport, man.
Bloody tough sport. Now, to finish things off, you've already done your prize money in sports segment.
Yeah, I don't know why you put that at the end, mate. That's what I was saying. It's at the start.
Okay.
Bit of miscommunication and pre-planning.
I just downloaded ChatGPT. I told you before, right?
Yeah.
You've never used it before, hey?
No.
I've just used it for the first time ever today.
A few random questions, but nothing legit.
Oh, it's great.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, me too. But I've just been kind of... Not oblivious, but almost kind of just being like, ah, oh, whatever. Like, doesn't interest me.
Yeah, it's ChatGPT.
I don't really need it, but I don't know, mate.
I mean, with how quickly it found a few answers for you before.
It's instant.
Oh, yeah, I was impressed by that. John Millman's highest career ranking?
33.
Tick.
Pretty good career.
Pretty good career. I did think he was top 20, but I'll trust ChatGPT over me.
Any questions?
Not too much, mate. Not too much. I'm waiting for the new one-handed backhand to come back into tennis. I want someone to be inside the top 10 again.
We'll keep an eye out.
Sitsi's not going to kick anytime soon.
Men's prediction for Miami?
I don't really know. Like
Medvedev's defending a title.
Yeah.
Who beat Sinner last year.
No Djok floating around. I kind of think it's going to be one of those three again, that Med, Sinner, Alcaraz, but
I don't see it going any other way.
I just haven't seen anybody else kind of that I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
So you're going Alcaraz?
I might mix it this week and go Sinner. I think it's still too early to really tell. I don't know what kind of form they're in. Obviously, they've played a week of tennis before.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So early days, I'm going to go Sinner.
Cool. I'm going Medvedev.
You're going Med. You think he has to? Oh, it's 1,000 points, mate.
It's 1,000 points, plus lost the final of Indian Wells. That always hurts. And a player of that caliber, usually, or you would hope, wants to back it up and go, you know, F this. Like, I'm going to win the next one. So,
yeah.
I'm going Med.
And
the Octopus.
On the women's, the Octopus on the women's side.
Eager. Dot.
Eager.
Good luck trying to beat her.
Yeah, fair.
Honestly.
I'm going to go Rybakina.
Ooh.
Yes, yes.
All right.
So, we'll see, mate.
Yeah, we'll discuss.
Touch base next week.
Next week. Thanks for listening. If you've come this far, enjoy your tennis, if you can get a bloody hold of it.
Yeah.
And catch you later.
Next week. Bye.
Ciao.